Real quick, yeah. Some people may wonder, Lori and I don't do a ton of like week-to-week consulting about the music. So at some churches, that's kind of a normal thing. But I am just always so thankful and blessed by Lori's heart, Lori's spirit, the faith that Lori has, the rootedness that she has in God, and what God cares about. And I always know that we're going to have music that supports both our spirits emotionally and what music can do, but then also in the substance of what comes through there. And that it'll either align sort of almost, you know, through the spirit, and maybe God knowing what was going on really explicitly like it does today, or that they'll really support and complement each other even if the exact messages aren't the same, because you do that so well for us. So thank you so much. So this morning I want to start today with a little bit of a story. Like I said, I'll explain kind of why things are a little bit different as we go along. But to get things going, it's part true story, part parable. So I have to confess that I am prone to keeping a very dirty car. I'll eat meals and stuff in there with the kids. Sometimes I remember to get rid of the trash. Okay, sometimes I don't. Sometimes little crumbs happen. And I just, you know, like I jump in the car, I'll often have my brain on something else. And so remembering to clean it out regularly is not really a thing that happens all the time. And this fall, things were getting busy. It got pretty bad. And so thankfully, Wendy did something very nice. And she hired somebody that does like personal car detailing to come out to our house and clean and detail the car so that I didn't have to think about it. She completely took care of it, which was really, really nice. And then at Christmas, maybe this will be a little bit funny, but it's nice too, she gave me like a special car vacuum and detailer tool that could plug into the electric on the thing, and then that way I can keep up with it a little bit easier without it being a real pain, which is really nice. And so I thank her about it all the time. I tell her how great and thoughtful she is to have done that for me. Sometimes I might even text her when I'm in the car and say, you know, my car looks really nice. Thank you again for doing that. I'm remembering right now that it's happening. Maybe I can ask tips from her for like how to keep it clean, because she does better than I do. And obviously, you know, I like to tell people now that I have the experience of a clean car. It's really great to have a clean car. If you want to have a nice commute, you can clean your car too. But I have to admit, since Christmas, I have not used my little detailer tool yet. And so, you know, it does take a little extra effort, so I haven't bothered to break it out yet. But I know it's there in case I need it. And, you know, I've had people like tell me, like, oh man, I just spilled something in my car. I better get home soon or get it picked up, or otherwise that mess is going to get stuck. And then I'll just tell them, yeah, that's a big problem. I also used to have a really dirty car, so you should deal with that as soon as possible, because that's an issue. But, you know, I haven't actually gotten out my detailer to help them with it yet, because, again, that just is like a little bit of effort, even though we could use it together, and that'd be really nice. Okay, so if that's a parable, and we relate that to our faith, does anyone have an idea of what, like, some of the aspects of how that tells us something about what can happen in our faith sometimes? No, it's a little mysterious. Peggy, you have an idea?
We each of us in our own way have to maintain our faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So for me, that story has all the different components of what we talk about with faith, right? I was confessing and repentant about my dirty car at the beginning. Wendy cleaned my car so it was back to good. That's like justification. And then there's discipleship and faith, because she gave me the tool to like maintain my car cleanliness at Christmas time. There's aspects of worship and prayer. If I'm like saying, thank you so much for giving me this tool, you're so kind and wonderful, and can't you, like, do you have any tips of how to use it and things like that, right? Like that type of communication is kind of like those. And then there's even evangelism, because I'm telling people it is awesome to have a clean car. You should do that. But if I leave languishing the actual experience of keeping that up, of all the things that I'm worshiping about, all the things that I'm excited about, all the things that I said were so much of a gift, if I don't keep that up, and if I don't substantively share that with people, besides telling them, you should have a clean car too, even though I've got stuff in my car that could help out. If I just leave that there, then something is probably missing. I'm on the way, but there's more to the full life of clean carness of faith that I could be experiencing. So that same dynamic and what it can remind us of for our faith is really a big part of what is in our scripture verses for today. They're reminders of how our relationship with God can continue and go on and then develop and explore and transform all parts of our life. That we should see it in all things that we do, at all times and all experiences that we can have. And sometimes we can get a little bit focused, especially on churchy things, or that worship we think of as primarily like a thing that we do together, like this morning, and come together for special activities that are extra spiritual. But these are these reminders and encouragements of all the way we can experience and celebrate and enjoy God's presence in our lives. The Micah story in particular, you may not realize, like Lori said, Micah 6:8 is a pretty familiar verse. And it very succinctly gives us that idea. What does God really want from us in all the things that we do, whether it's special gatherings or other things? Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with God. That helps distill it down really nicely, and we can unpack that some. But Micah sets that up with some interesting stories. He's saying, Israel, you're acting like God is making things really a pain in the butt for you to connect. That's what he's saying. Like you're saying that I have not made things easy for you. Let me make the case about the way things really are. And he invokes some tricky names, right? We heard about Balak and Balaam, and I think Balaam was son of Beor or something like that, right? And it's kind of a weird story. You might remember Balaam because he's unique. He's the one who had the donkey speak to him when the donkey kept trying to go away from an angel that was telling Balaam the right way to go. And you'll remember of donkey speaking to people as a story in the Bible, right? It comes up, right? But what Balaam was a prophet. So what was happening is Balak was a ruler of a rival kingdom when Israel was coming into the promised land during the Exodus. And he was worried about them, and so he was asking Balaam, can you ask God to make me the favorite instead of them? And I'll do tons of services, we'll do special worship, I'll make a bunch of offerings, and then God will think that I'm better, right? And Balaam had to keep telling him, you know, it doesn't matter how many things you do to try to cajole or convince or flatter God. God's just on the side of the people who are oppressed. God is on the side of right. God is going to make sure that these people who were enslaved and are looking for a place to settle are going to have a place to settle. So you can either get on board with that and be a part of what God is doing in a healthy way for everyone, or you can keep having competing offerings and still try to oppress them when they come in, and it's just going to blow up in your face, and they'll actually end up getting rid of you. And so the idea that we're encouraged not only from Micah 6:8, but of the example of, you know, there's God really wants to just make it nice and straightforward for you. It's good to worship God. It's good to connect with God. But also, if you just do the things that God is doing, just spend time with God, be a part of the beautiful life that God is making, you'll be great. And so Israel was tempted into that same time. Like, what can we do so that we can do all the stuff we want but that God doesn't like? But if we do this other, like, worship or offering or whatever stuff, then God will ignore that and do what we want. And God was saying, just do what I wanted, just do what I'm doing that's good for all of us, and we'll all be fine. Don't worry about all the other things. Don't look at worship as that way to cajole me or flatter me. That's not what our relationship is supposed to be about. And even more than we see when we get into the gospel, which shouldn't surprise us from the words of Jesus, that Jesus encourages us of a way, a truth, and a life. We hear these words that are about journeying together, that are about the fullness of our experience, not just particular moments or particular activities, a life, all that that can include, that he connects us to the Father in a relational way, that we can expect then that our life will be full of all of the things that Jesus and God are also doing in the world, because Jesus connects us to the Father in that relational way. In the verses, those are called works and miracles, the things that God is doing to make our world full of new life, full of salvation. We can participate in those things too. And that is a part of worship, that we get to do that. And when we do the things that God is doing, we're also showing our love, showing our obedience, showing our honor. And again, those are other words for worship. We get to worship here in special ways, and we get to worship in all the things that we do. And as I said earlier in the children's passage, for me, this picture becomes very encouraging. Because Jesus presents himself to us not as a gatekeeper or security or a bouncer at the door, but as a co-signer of life, as a companion for all the things that we're going to go through. It's an expression of God's generosity, not an expression of God's guarding. We'll walk together and we'll find truth. We'll experience the fullness of life. And sometimes we can get tempted, though, a little bit to feel like, I need to show love and obedience and honor in other, like, kind of abstract or specific ways, instead of just knowing I can be with God and do the things that God is doing, and that can be this really important expression of worship. And if we get fixated on those too much, we end up missing out on the full experience of faith and worship. Our temptation essentially is to say, I think Jesus must be guarding whether God will accept me or love me or not. And so what I need to do is focus on all of these ways to tell Jesus, I think you're really awesome and you should like me. And then that way he'll let me into salvation life. We have to remember, we don't have actually pictures in Scripture, in Jesus' other stories, of Jesus being the one who's at the door while we're knocking and Jesus is deciding whether to open the door or not. We actually have stories instead of Jesus being the one who knocks. Jesus is coming to us. Jesus is seeking us out. Jesus is hoping to have us open the door and participate, and we can go along. We don't want to be in a place where we're accidentally locking ourselves in our own house, the things that we're most used to, while Jesus is knocking and saying, hey, I'm here. Let's be together. And we're like, no, I'm going to stand here and say, Jesus, I like you and think you're really great. Listen to all the wonderful things I say about you. Please open my locked door. Right? Jesus, in that picture, we can imagine, would be like, thanks, that's really nice of you to say. We can be together. Yes, let's do it. I'm doing some stuff out here right now that is really wonderful for you and for other people. I think you could even share your gifts. Do things that you care about in the world that will be good for you and make a difference for people that you love. You just got to unlock the door and come out with me. Come on, let's go do all of those things. You don't have to just stand there complimenting me. And that's a wonderful picture of Jesus. And, you know, sometimes the ways that we slip into that are a little subtle. We don't realize it until we get the chance. But that we can always hear Jesus saying, I love how you express your appreciation for me, but I really want that relationship. What are all the ways that we can connect together? Sunday service is really important. But one of the things I want us to think about in the coming year is we have that church family language that's really important to us and really beautiful and a true expression of the ways that we support each other. I think in these settings, though, we can maybe think of Sunday service as like when we gather together around the dining room table as a family, right? It's really important connection time. It's really important support time. It's a great way to have those relationships happen. And it's a good rhythm to have as a regular thing. You don't want to slip away from it. But gathering around the dining room table really has the most meaning because we're not just sitting there to eat, but we're also telling each other, this is what happened in my day today. This is the feeling that I'm having, and I want people to like support me as I'm processing it and trying to make sense of what's going to happen. It's the time and the relationships and how it connects to what we're doing with the rest of our time that makes it most impactful. If everything becomes just about the dining room table, then we can have a nice meal. We can have a nice table to sit at and place settings and chairs to sit in. But it'll eventually end up feeling like something is still missing a little bit because we're not focusing on how it's connecting all of the other parts of our life. There might even be a risk where those other parts of our life are left out because someone might say, yeah, I know you want to tell me about this amazing thing that you did today, but right now I have to focus really carefully on setting the forks and drinks and everything else at. So I don't have time to listen to you right now. Or maybe we put pressure on people to do things focused on the table so much that they don't get to spend time on the things that they love and care about in the rest of their life that we would celebrate and support and encourage them to do. And so I hope that that mindset of being a church family and what different parts of our full life together as a church family can feel a little bit relatable. Again, dining room table time and the close family that gathers around that is really important and really beautiful for how we form together. But there will be more things about the life of being a church family, of who our extended family is. We'll talk a little bit about that today in the annual meeting. That's also really important, and I think that is present in the life of who we are as this church, that I want to keep celebrating and encouraging and drawing out, because it's really beautiful, and I want to make sure that we don't miss that together. So I hope that this analogy feels a little bit relatable. Maybe we can think about how we live into that well. I don't want you to think, though, that because today we're talking a little bit about changes, that what you should feel is relatable is that something is a big disaster, that something is really trying to be fixed. Again, this is a hope where we're seeing the beautiful things that are happening, and we want our time together and how we're encouraging each other to reflect the beautiful things that are happening, to reinforce it, to draw it out that much more. I feel compelled to talk about these aspects in faith of worship because I've been feeling a lot of thankfulness for God's faithfulness and inspiration coming from all of you as our church and what we're doing together and how we've made it through even a challenging season. I've been feeling proud and excited about the number of things that we're doing to live our full lives of faith and the way that we're making a difference in each other's lives and in the community around us. It's wonderful to be a part of a church that has that broad dynamic of all of the aspects of life, all the aspects of faith, all the aspects of worship that we do together. So we haven't done prayer yet. And there's some new language, if you might notice in the bulletin. We didn't use announcements today. There's some stuff about living faith. There's these green cards that have some more language about values of the ways that we live our faith and what we can experience in different events that we do together. And some things like that you can look over in the future. And it's because one of the things that I know that can happen, not just at our church, but in general, as church has become especially associated with Sunday services and particular activities, we have to just put a little bit more thoughtfulness and intention into remembering that worship is all of our lives, that God is able to connect and encourage and bring salvation into all aspects of what we do and who we are. Whether it's family dinner time like Sunday service or the time that we spend together outside of a meal in our fellowship and service together. And because I've shared a range of faith and life together with you, I felt convicted that we want to find ways to honor what it is that we're doing. Because I know that God is so in the middle of this and loves it so much. I feel a sense of responsibility as a pastor that to make sure we don't just celebrate dinner in a way that unintentionally misses all the amazing things that so many of us are doing together. I think that I should make sure not to treat you as a chef that brings you a meal, but then walks away as soon as you're telling me all the other things that God is doing in your life and all the other things that we could be doing together with each other and with God throughout the rest of our life. I am privileged to be your brother, and all of you are my spiritual siblings. And I want to make sure that, again, I'm not just slapping food in front of you, that I'm supporting you, I'm listening to you, I'm celebrating you, I'm participating with you in all of the parts of life. And that's something that I know that we can share together. So just so you know, this is something that we'll be finding ways to explore and stay rooted in together in coming weeks and months. The sermon series that we're going into will have more of that stuff about fellowship of believers, like Lori sang so beautifully today, of the way that the Spirit is giving us gifts to all serve, like our hymn this morning spoke about, ways that our relationships and living our faith in all aspects of life will continue to draw out the vitality and beauty of who we are together as a church family. And we'll see that also again during the annual meeting, the ways that that's already happening and the promise that we have for it continue to happen. And I know that God is going to be drawing more and more out of us and encouraging more and more from us and giving us more and more inspiration and power for the ways that we can connect with God and the ways that we can connect with each other and those around us to experience salvation life. We're doing this from a really great and exciting and beautiful foundation. I feel confident that God is even readying us to build on that foundation together, and that we're going to be able to have more of a sense of belonging to God, belonging to each other, and that our belonging can be extended to those around us who need it because of the ways that we are living faith and people can see salvation in all that we do all of the time. And I know that that's especially needed, especially in our culture right now, that we know so often feels tumultuous and draining and isolating for people, so that we have a beautiful, exciting church family that's finding God in aspects of our life. What a gift that can be for people who are like, so much is so crazy right now. I don't know how to feel connected to people all the time. It's hard to feel belonging. It's hard to feel invigorated. So we're going to find ways to do that also in our family dinner of Sunday services, to carry that value system, to carry that mindset of we're doing amazing, beautiful things throughout the week through other expressions of faith. God is with us all the time, and that we know we can offer that to others. We're going to try to have what we do here reinforce that, encourage that, root us in God's spiritual inspiration for it. So it's going to be about emphasizing the spiritual characteristics of the things that we do in addition to Sunday services. Sometimes in our thankfulness and excitement for all the beautiful aspects of Sunday service, I know it can be the same way for me, announcements sort of feel like secondary. Like they're the housekeeping to get done and go through before we get to like the full part of worship. And I understand how that goes because we do have really beautiful Sunday services and worship together. But we also have really beautiful things that we're doing together in life. And so I want to make sure that we're doing things that help us feel that full spirit of worship and thankfulness in God's presence in whatever it is that we're talking about that is an expression of who we are. Because I know we are a church where what we do and our faith together is more than a list of things. So I want to make sure that we remember that together as we gather. So we're stepping away from using the language of announcements. And we're going to make sure that we have a focus on the truth that we instead have a full range of worship and living faith together. And so when we talk about that in Sunday service, we're going to be celebrating and bringing it before the altar of God in that worshipful way. And so you'll start to see going forward at the beginning of service, we're going to welcome and present some of the ways that we're living our faith. And then as we go through the service, we're going to remember that the things that we do together as a church family are deeply spiritual, and we're going to pray for the ways that we're living our faith. And that's what we're going to do together in just a minute, too. And then lastly, when we get sent out with our benediction and think of all the things that are coming up most immediately where God's going to be walking with us, we're going to live faith together, we're going to proclaim all those things that we're living in faith together. And we're going to have some words to anchor ourselves in all of that. In the simplest terms, this is prioritizing and emphasizing the spiritual parts of what we have called announcements. And then we're going to be spreading them throughout the service so that it reinforces our faith rootedness. And we'll be talking to each other about all the details of it a little bit less, but really focusing on that spiritual connection of the things that we're doing, even if we're not talking more at length. And I know you might say, Rob, that doesn't sound like you very much, but I promise that's how we're going with it. Because that spiritual emphasis we know is really the most important thing. And I know it's going to feel a little bit different for a while, and we'll get used to it, but I'm asking you to give it a shot with me to see how we can experience the inspiration and encouragement of God as we find ourselves, especially in that spiritual rootedness, and that we can see all of the gifts of God. And again, these are the seven C's. Right, we're not trying to add more numbers to GC3 or G3C or 7C, whatever. C's are just nice to remember, right? So these are the gifts that you're going to see connected to all the different things that we do to live our faith, and we'll be reminded of how that works. So let's go ahead and give that a shot of what that looks like as we do our prayers together. So if you want to follow along with me, on the back, it says announcements right now, but going forward it's going to say living faith. For each day. And so we're going to pray our living faith. So this is what it'll look like. When we go into congregational prayer, we'll talk about these are the things we're doing together as a community that we want to pray for. And then we'll ask for our personal prayers after we're done with that. So you'll notice that after each expression of living faith that's listed, there's a bolded line at the bottom that says what the response is, connected to the special value that we know God is going to help us experience at the time. So first off, I want to remind people that we have the opportunity to share tablets with folks who are homebound, so they can join us in worship and fellowship in the future. So if you know somebody who could benefit from that, whether they are a prior member of the church, or they're just a friend or neighbor who you know is isolated and would like to connect with people, I hope that you'll sign up for it in the narthex and we'll follow up with you. Let's do the prayer response together. Lord, help us walk with others as you walk with them. We also have an exciting event coming up next Sunday night, 6:30 p.m. We're going to watch The Greatest Showman. It's a really fun movie. Together at 6 p.m., maybe I said 6 or 6 p.m. next Sunday night, there will also be pizza and snacks, which should be a really fun time with families and kids together. Let's do the response for that one together, too. Lord, thank you for the gift of each other. Bless our time together. We also know that with spring coming up at not too long, maybe that helps you get through the cold, we're going to have the gardening happening. And one of the ways that we can start prepping for that is to do seedling starting that you can do in your home. If you're interested in helping us by participating in the garden that way, we also have a sign-up sheet in the narthex that you can do for that. And I promise, if you have questions, even if you don't have a lot of experience, we'll help you get all set up. If you aren't interested, you can just sign up. Let's pray for that effort together, too. Lord, thank you for the gift of each other. Bless our time together. Then lastly, a reminder, today is the third Sunday of the month, so we're doing our collection for the Pastor's Discretionary Fund. This is a way that we help people around us who are asking for support in times of need and crisis. Any type of offering that you make that's marked PDF will go towards that effort. Let's pray for how we do that together as well. Lord, all we have is yours. May we use it for your will. So again, we're going to have details and emails. We're going to have details written out on this. But we're going to keep ourselves rooted in the information and the spirituality of what we do together when we do those in the future. And hopefully that helps us remember of all the ways God is helping us worship and live our faith all the time. We want to make sure that we pray for each other. Is the microphone already around? Awesome. Jenny, you're on top of it, and Robin, thank you so much. We're also praying for each of us individually. That's a key part of how we live our faith together. So what are some of the prayer requests that we can lift up at this time? Krista, if you want to go ahead.
Well, I have a prayer of appreciation. This person is, today happens to be his birthday, and he's like an ever-ready buddy that just doesn't stop, and we are so appreciative of Pastor Rob. Thank you.
The residents at the Chestnut Hill and your parents, they are in lockdown. So I haven't seen mom for 2 weeks, and it's just hard on them. It's just prayers for Chestnut Hill. Also, I'm in the process of doing for the Corey Social Security, and hopefully they'll come in the next 2 weeks and help me find a job. So just have guidance and directions to make everything go all right. Thank you.
So it looks like that might be all the personal prayer requests that we have here today. I will note that we have a comment on the Facebook feed from TAC that COVID has come into his house. Everybody's okay right now, but they will be housebound for a while. So we'll pray for TAC and Amy and the kids that they hang in there and not too much spread or symptoms. We know that's been happening a lot, so we can also be mindful of anyone we know who's impacted.